This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
It's all about the Irish today. Wake up the echoes. Here comes Notre Dame. All right, Wes, it's going to be a fun show today. Mike Bray, one of our all-time favorites, in next hour making his debut on the program, the legendary Joe Theismann. So that's what we got going on. And we've got a ton of notes. We'll take your phone calls, of course, at 844-SAY-ACCN. But otherwise, I hope you're having a good morning.
Thanks, you too. Interesting last 12 hours, Pack. We thought we'd get something, some final resolution from the NCAA Board of Governors as it related to fall championships. Instead, we got a tabling of sorts from that group yesterday. And hard to tell, actually, if there's going to be a final decision or if they're going to push it down to the respective levels of play, being Division I, Division II, Division III. A day of hype to trying to finally get a decision about 8:30 last night. All of a sudden, you get a report from Brett McMurphy, Ross Dellinger, and some others saying, they're going to maybe come back tomorrow. And I got to be honest with you, I was kind of like, you know, we knew this was coming. You guys had talked about it 2 weeks ago. You pushed it 1 week, and then you pushed it another, and a nothing at the end of the day was a surprise to me.
A total snapshot of the NCAA yesterday. You got the Board of Governors, apparently the smart guys, who have had, like you said, weeks to prepare. We've pushed this thing up. You knew what the conversation was going to be. It wasn't like you walked in and said, oh, I've never seen this material before. You've been studying for this test for God knows how long, and you meet all day long, and at the end of the day, we've all agreed that we've accomplished nothing here, and we'll come back eventually and figure this thing out. I mean, it's exactly what the NCAA does. They have meetings. They have subcommittees. They have statements that say nothing. They get around the table and they all eat croissants and go to great places to have meetings, and they get nothing accomplished. And that's exactly what the Board of Governors proved yesterday. It's August the 5th, man. Anybody waking up? We're getting ready to get the kids to classes here in about 2 weeks. Anytime you guys want to get together and figure out what we want to do. I mean, you've been talking about this thing nonstop for weeks. You get absolutely, positively nothing accomplished. Mm-hmm. And let me guess, Mark Emmert still very concerned that this pandemic could cause a problem for fall sports. I mean, the whole thing's comic. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And, you know, even all day yesterday, as you were waiting to hear some kind of word one way or the other, we go into the night, have dinner, I'm still reading, and all of a sudden you see the note, and I start laughing. Like, of course they came up with no conclusion. I mean, what are we doing here? I mean, enough already. And you wonder why people are talking about maybe the Power Five should break away and get some work done. That's precisely why that conversation takes place, that, hey, what are we doing? And that's kind of what I feel about the NCAA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is interesting that it turned that way, and then speculation occurring that they may let Division II, Division III, and to a degree Division I decide on its own as to kind of what they want to try and do, right? And the next thing you know, we got just more time being consumed when, in all honesty, we're running out of it a little bit. In particular of note, as it relates to the ACC, is the stand that they could take with the football championship series. It doesn't concern any ACC opponents, obviously, unless those are added for an 11th game in the model this fall, which I guess is always possible at this point in time. The real focus of a league like the ACC is going to be fall championships. And that relates to conversations we've had with people like Karen Shelton. We talked to Mike Noonan, the soccer coach at Clemson, you know, any various and sundry volleyball, those type folks. That's where this is really going to impact what potentially could be a fall schedule. Mark, I went back to something last night when I saw this, and I meant to text you about it, and I didn't. You wonder if any of this delay has to do with the speculative report that came a couple days ago that Power 5 is watching this closely as it relates to football and potentially other sports in terms of the future of college athletics. That just crossed my mind last night, only in that, you know, is this Board of Governors really just kind of going to create a level of process that they say, okay, we're going to do this year, and then we'll get back to you on next year's or whatever the case may be in order to try to stay this this continued discussion about Power Five and the NCAA.
Do you think these people are smart enough to have a handle on the big picture, Wes? Listen, if they're now going to come to the conclusion after all this time, we're going to let Division II and Division III figure it out. Hey, guess what? You could have told them that, oh, I don't know, 6 months ago. Or you could have told them, hey, you folks have a better handle on your business than we do. You guys figure this. I mean, if that's what their conclusion is, you almost have to mock this to the point of no return. If you think these folks are smart enough to have a handle, hey, these Power Five guys are mad at us, please, they have no clue with what they're talking about. And the Power Five's going to do whatever they want to do. I'm just telling you, it's going to reach a point where the real power brokers are going to say, hey, enough of this. You know, we're sitting here with budgets that are 8-9 figures, and we got to make this thing work. You know, we're the ones testing our kids every stinking day. We're the one, this may not be happening at Division II and III, but this is how we operate. And I keep harping on this, that you pick a state. I mean, you mean to tell me the University of Texas is operating the same way as UT San Antonio? No, they're not. You think Davidson College is operating the same way as the University of North Carolina? No, they're not. And it's not to be derogatory. They're just different beasts. This is apples and oranges. So this Board of Governors, man, they can take another deep nap and, you know, whatever they do. I mean, if they come up and say, hey, we've determined that Division II and III should determine their own one, guys, you could have said that 6 months ago. And guess what? Real smart people who are on the front lines in Division II and III could have figured out what they were going to do. Same thing with the Power Five. Hey, guys, make a decision and let's move on. Hey, it's August for crying. Like I said, in 2 weeks, we got students showing up. You guys are going to have another subcommittee meeting in the Bahamas or the tropics, figuring out, oh, Joey, what do you come up with? Why don't you and Susan get together and we'll have another subcommittee meeting and just bag all this. We'll meet again next week. Nonsense. Somebody make a call. I mean, this is not that difficult. I mean, you've had nothing but time to acquire all the information known to man. Hey, you know there's people waiting on your decision, so make a call, period. It's frustrating. And I'm not even involved, and it's frustrating.
Yep. None. Well, while that was maybe not the news we were expecting, Boston College may have gotten the best news of the day, Pac.
Finally, again, NCAA, what are you waiting on? I mean, this decision could have been made months ago. JT Daniels wants to leave SC to go to Georgia. Oh, rubber stamp that. That's good to go. What about the kid from Notre Dame going to BC? We're going to have another subcommittee meeting. Again, I don't know what they do. And I'm so tired of pointing the finger at them and laughing that you just kind of go, at what point in time, what could the holdup be to say, listen, you know what? We think he could go ahead and play immediately now for BC. What took so long? Seriously, Wes. What possibly could have been an issue that took this much time as opposed to some of the other decisions that are made? And, you know, and again, I don't want to go back to Justin Fields in that era because there were people leaving left and right and getting approved in a millisecond. You're like, wait a minute. So he's leaving because somebody whispered a racial slur in the stands. So that's justifiable to make sure player A goes from A to Z. What could have possibly been the issue for Phil to sit there and go, hey, you know what? I want to go from Notre Dame to Boston College. I'm in good academic standing, and I love Notre Dame, love BC. I just want to play. What possibly could take that long for any committee to sit there and go, well, we're really going to need to have to study this one? I mean, it's embarrassing. It's truly embarrassing.
Yeah. Well, bottom line is the Notre Dame quarterback transfer, Phil Jurkovec, is now eligible to play for Boston College immediately. And this is an exciting time for Jeff Hafley. This is a bit of good news for sure, because a talented youngster gets into the fold and there is already a good bit of expectation. And by the way, BC fans, give you some credit here. I never say that it is a determining factor, but the rallying behind this young man, Jurkovec, is impressive. And I'll say this. When you get a hype video on a waiver being granted, That's a good deal, by the way. And I got to be honest with you, Pac, I'm happy for Jeff Hafley. I'm happy for Pat Kraft and the people at BC. But I'm also happy for the BC fans that that use the hashtag FreeJerk all the time, because I thought that was clever, and I thought they were trying to send a message. And who knows where it figured into the process here, but good for everybody involved at Chestnut Hill.
Forget the hype video, Wes. As long as it took the NCAA to rule on it, they could have made a major motion picture after the guy. We'll find out if he can play. I mean, I had no earthly idea. But I'm happy for all parties involved. Obviously, he wants to go to BC. BC wants to have him. And the NCAA woke up, like I said, from a deep nap to finally go, oh, yeah, the season's starting soon. Yeah, let's go ahead and make sure he can play. 3 years of eligibility coming his way. So good for everybody involved.
Yeah. Yep, and when we get the schedule, we get a look at it. And by the way, he'll play his old team at some point in the 2020 campaign. As we told you at the top, though, this is about the Notre Dame takeover today. And we're going to visit with Mike Bray, and then Joe Theismann going to join us as well. Looking forward to checking in with him on some Notre Dame era of old, and also kind of thoughts of one of their proudest football alums about where they stand with the ACC in football this year. But a quick check of what we're going to have on the takeover starting at 10 o'clock, Notre Dame volleyball from last fall, the fencing championships, which the Irish were spectacular. At 1 o'clock, we'll get into softball against Duke. Some of the great women's basketball games, 2013-2018, the Gym Rat series, which is crazy good, at 6:30. And then at 7 o'clock, a pair of basketball games from 2012 and 2002, all on the Fighting Irish takeover here today on ACC Network. We got plenty to cover coming up in our visit here before 10 o'clock this morning on this Irish takeover. We mentioned Mike Bray and Joe Theismann. We'll also look at Brian Kelly's football team and kind of where their expectations are now that they kind of know their 10 ACC opponents coming up for the fall as well.
I think Notre Dame's going to be good. Not again. You're going to say, Pac, I heard that every year since 1947. I get it. But I really like what they've got up front on the offensive and the defensive lines. I mentioned to you I had Ian Book on the radio show a couple weeks ago, and he's fired up. And again, coming back, he's got experience. They've got where you need to be good, Notre Dame is good. And so we'll see how this schedule plays out. We have no idea who they open up with. Again, we had John Swofford, the commissioner, on Friday, and he talked about it may take another week or so before we get all the schedules and the networks figure out what's happening. But I think the Irish are going to be a factor. Again, they're going to need some breaks from a national championship perspective. Everybody does. But being in the league for the first time ever since they've been playing football in 1887, there's an added intrigue, I think, on that standpoint, even amongst ACC fans, not to mention around the country. But I like what they've got up front on both sides of the line of scrimmage. And then they have some spots they need to work on. Yeah, wide receivers, who's that going to be? Their secondary, he's got some dudes, but they're kind of inexperienced back there. But the pieces are in place for Notre Dame to have a big year, in my opinion.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Wes, we're talking about the Notre Dame 2020 version, and I gave you my two cents worth. I like what they've got up front. Their offensive line is going to be really, really good. Ian Book's a smart guy coming back for, again, fifth year, got his degree already in his back pocket. They've just got to figure out who they're going to throw it to, and that's going to take some time. And one of the things that we got into in our interview with him on the show was, you know, hey, during this pandemic, I mean, that's tough to do, to get chemistry with your wide receivers when everybody's spread out all over the place. So they've got some work to do in the short term from that perspective. But, you know, I everything else, I kind of like what Notre Dame's got. And I know their secondary's got some issues, but they've got some dudes now. They just got to get some development and some depth as the season goes on. But I think the pieces are in place for Notre Dame to have another big year.
Mark, I do too. I think that, you know, Book is obviously a great centerpiece for what they're going to do offensively, but the loss of Claypool and Komet especially has to be a concern, at least early on. I think the other interesting side of Notre Dame is that, you know, when Mike Elko was there, and we remember Elko going up there as the defensive coordinator when he left Wake Forest and then moved on to Texas A&M with Jimbo Fisher. And I'm a firm believer he's a really good coach. I mean, and could be a head coach, right? But he is an outstanding defensive coordinator. And in one season at South Bend, he did an unbelievable job of kind of establishing what his identity is. And it's carried over to what Clark Lee's done as their defensive coordinator in my mind. And now all of a sudden you see Notre Dame and you look and go, whoa, wait a second. They got some dudes playing defense. I mean, remember a few years ago it was Jerry Tillery and a couple guys here and there. And now all of a sudden they're steady on that side of the ball. And I think it's going to be interesting, especially when it comes to Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, who I think is just a budding star in college football when you think about the way his season finished. But look at the teams they handled last year. And I'll go back to this game in particular here against Virginia. Cavaliers came in rolling hot offensively, and Notre Dame did a really good job against them, I thought, Mark.
Notre Dame's also had really good success against the ACC. I mean, ever since this agreement, and I'm not talking about joining the conference this particular year because this is a kind of an offline, but since they've been part of, hey, we're going to play four or five games a year against the league, they've been very consistent. They've been really good. In fact, I wouldn't say dominant because there's one team that's been a problem, but it's been a problem for everybody in the conference. They'll get a chance to play those guys again this year. But for the most part, Notre Dame has lined up with everybody in this league and said, hey, you know what? We're more than competitive. We can win a bunch of games here. So that's why I think when you throw a 10-game ACC schedule on the Irish plus the one, whatever that may be, and Jack Swarbrick's working on that as we speak, I think if you're a Notre Dame fan, you take a look in the inventory and say, listen, so we got rid of a road trip to Lambeau. We got rid of the SC Stanford game because of the Pac-12 decision. And now we've jumped on an ACC schedule. You could make the case in some respects their path to potentially being a college football playoff contender, it may be easier. And I don't mean any disrespect to North Carolina who's on that schedule. Obviously, Clemson's on that schedule. They're going to have chances to be more than pushed around and get, you know, competitive teams that are going to have to play. But I think if you're a Notre Dame fan, as crazy as this year has been, as crazy as it is that you're now in a conference for the first time since 1887 – you take your chances and see where this thing goes. And so I think that's where you are if you're a Notre Dame guy today.
Here's our friends at FPI, Pac. Here's the percentage of success for the CFP.
Whatever. I just told you before I even knew what the FPI said that I think Notre Dame's path to the playoff, in my opinion, got a little easier. Now, granted, some people are going to say, Pac, are you out of your mind? They may have to play Clemson twice. Well, so be it. I mean, if you can't beat those guys, you shouldn't be in the playoff. I mean, you know, that's how this works. So, you know, at some point in time, you got to line up against the big boys and prove your worth. And to me, Wes, that's the one thing about Notre Dame that's kind of the enigma, right? I mean, we know about the tradition and the history. And I don't care if you root for them or root against them. You can't deny what Notre Dame has been to college football, big picture, for the last 150 years. However, the thing that to me is an enigma about Notre Dame is really in the last quarter of a century, last 25 years, they have not been great. And I know Notre Dame fans are not going to want to hear what I got to say, but I'm just spewing facts now. They've not won a major bowl game since January 1st, 1994. No, they went 0-4 in the BCS and got outscored by 101 points. They've been in the college football playoff once and got waxed by Clemson. They've not won a natty since 1988. They have a losing record against ranked teams this century. I mean, so Notre Dame to me is kind of an enigma. It's like, hey, we know who they are. Always seem to recruit well. Great tradition in history. I like Brian Kelly. I think he's done an amazing job because that is a tough gig. But you know what? His numbers against top 10 teams are not very good the last I think the number I saw from Pick Six previews, the last 15 games that Brian Kelly's had against top 10 teams, he's 3-12. But I like their team. So they are kind of, to me, they're kind of an enigma. They got the tradition, they got the name, they got all that stuff. But it has been a long, long time since Notre Dame on the national stage has grabbed your attention and said, guess what? We are Notre Dame. And so I know Notre Dame fans thinking 2020 could be the year for them. But they really are kind of overdue in a lot of departments on the big stage.
I want to go back and look at their rundown here for home and away in the ACC because there's going to be so much emphasis on Clemson and the singular game against the Tigers. And I was kind of going over their schedule here. I mean, remember how we talked on this last week? And I know we talk about where their defense is and there's some question about what they are defensively up front in particular. But, Pac, remember when we mentioned last week schools that are going to play quarterbacks? Okay, now with Jurkovic being eligible at Boston College, you dial that guy up. You get Sam Howell. You get Kenny Pickett. We have no reason to believe Sam Hartman won't be better at Wake Forest. Then look at the four home games before, and Tommy DeVito at Syracuse, who didn't have the kind of year he wanted. But look at the four QBs you're going to line up against at home beyond Syracuse. And DeVito could be very good. We know that. Trevor Lawrence, Chase Bryce, Blackman, and Mikhail Cunningham. I mean, Pack, you better have the defensive front ready to get around the passer. If that is not a trigger point for Notre Dame, it could be tough. And I know there are a lot of people that want to talk about Clemson. But the Irish now, Florida State coming into South Bend? Now, Florida State, if they catch it early, the Noles, you and I know this, Florida State has got a ton of talent on both sides of the ball that could make for a troubling afternoon if you're not careful.
Well, we talked about a month ago the quarterback stable in this league. I think it's the best top to bottom of any conference in the country. So when you're going to go a heavy, heavy schedule this year of conference play, which is what everybody has, 10 plus 1, it's kind of hard to mm-hmm. play somebody on a given Saturday in this league that doesn't have a good quarterback. So it doesn't surprise you. Look at Notre Dame's got to pick any of the teams. I mean, you're going to have to play against some really good quarterbacks in this league, which goes back to Notre Dame. If you said to me, hey, today, based on what you think you know about any team, much less Notre Dame, what's the one piece of their defense that needs help? Secondary. And all of a sudden you're telling me, hey, you're going to load up against a bunch of really good quarterbacks. Well, that's why Notre Dame has to figure out a way to get pressure on the passer up front ASAP, because it may take them a little while to kind of figure out that secondary issue because they've only got one returner back. Mm-hmm. So, again, everybody's going to have issues to deal with, whether we're talking about Notre Dame, Clemson, or, you know, fill in with your favorite team. I mean, Clemson's got issues, too, they're going to have to figure out. So nobody's perfect in college football, much less in a year which has been as far from perfect as you could possibly get. So Notre Dame's going to have some challenges. But, again, I like what they've got up front on the offensive and the defensive lines. And they've got that experienced quarterback Ian Book, who if he can figure out a way to throw it to his wide receivers, whoever they may be and whoever develops, I think the Irish are going to be just fine.
Well, and you're right. Add Ian Book to that list of quarterbacks in the ACC this year, too. And I know you talked to him on your SiriusXM show a couple weeks ago. An impressive young man who clearly is the leader of Notre Dame's football team, especially on the offensive side. So if they can sort out the throw game, you got to put a lot of faith in what Ian Book can do. And let's go back to Brian Kelly here for a moment, too. I think it's a guy who, you know, because you're the coach at Notre Dame, it's like being the manager of the Yankees, right? I mean, you know, people either are with you or they're kind of against you. I think maybe in your case, the Dodgers. But you're always against the Dodgers, so that doesn't necessarily fit, right? I mean, but I think Brian Kelly has done a really, really good job at Notre Dame. And as you noted, it's been since 1994 that they won one of the New Year's Six bowl games. I start to think that, you know, Notre Dame's like a lot of places, Pac. You got to have some patience. He took them to a college football playoff on an undefeated season. There's something to be said for that. That buys you some street cred in South Bend and with the, you know, Notre Dame alums from across America. But they want to see the next step taken, and nothing would please the alumni and fan base more of the Irish than to see them join the ACC for a season and win the championship. You and I both know that. But at the same time, I think it's going to be a challenge to see if Notre Dame can do that. And the challenge may be more than just Clemson. And the way I look at the home and the road, I believe that more and more. And Notre Dame is going to be challenged, yes, by Clemson for sure. But there are some other teams that could sneak up on the Irish along the way as well out of the ACC.
I think we're probably doing everybody a disservice when we say, well, you know, they could be the second best team. Hey, they may be the first best team. They may be the fifth best team. We have no idea. I said to you the other day, I said, you know, as good as Clemson looks like they're going to be on paper, you still got to play. This has been a weird year. This has not been a deal that people have had, a full spring practice and they've had chances to work out in the summertime. We don't know where these teams are. This is going to be the most unpredictable year of college football. Maybe at the by the end of the deal, assuming we have a regular season, we may still have the same combination of Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama, and throw in your team into the college football playoff. It may work out that way, but it shouldn't surprise anybody if we have a weird, totally unpredictable year of college football, because the year has been that way. And you know, you wonder sometimes where kids' minds are. I mean, I was just reading a story this morning at 3 o'clock that Micah Parsons, who may be one of the best defensive players in the country, could opt out at Penn State. That word could come out today. I mean, you don't know where people are from a mental standpoint. You worry about the health issue. We've got stories of Colorado State and Idaho right now where we don't even know if they're going to play have a team. I mean, so who knows how this plays out? So when you hear us say, well, Notre Dame could be the second best team, they might be the best team for all we know. Well, you know, again, hopefully September the 7th, we start getting some answers in this conference.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Joe Theismann coming up at the top of the hour, and in a moment, Mike Bray. Go ahead, Wes.
How many shows is this,
by the way? 187.
You know that Jerry Seinfeld's got that show on Netflix, Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now we're getting ready to go to Coaches in Cars. We're getting ready to go to Coaches in Cars, and we have no idea what they're doing.
That would be us, by the way. We have no idea what we're doing. All right, there he is. Somewhere in the back roads of Indiana.
Look at him.
Mike Bray.
What's up, fellas? Good morning.
Do you know what town you're in?
I am in beautiful Granger, Indiana. I just got my iced tea this morning. I'm ready to roll. I'm awake and ready to go. I got to be awake because at 9 a.m. every Wednesday, we do the ACC basketball coach Zoom. That's real uplifting the last couple Wednesdays. That's really uplifting.
Well, let me just say, since you have been on the newsmaker line of Packer and Durham before, breaking news, would you like to tell us anything that'll be discussed at 9 a.m. on the ACC coaches Zoom call that we might want to talk about here?
That's right. I have been kind of your deep throat. I've been your scoop guy down there at the ACC meetings. I don't have any breaking news. We have, I really feel for Paul Brazo. He gets on and gives us all the bad news and then asks for questions or responses. We don't have, last two Wednesdays, we haven't had much to say. he kind of knocks us back with the updates, because there obviously hadn't been any great news, as far as, what waiting to see what the fall does before we can even dig into winter sports. So we're trying, man. We're trying. You know, the one thing that has been really upbeat is, for me, this past 4 days, my players all came back, and our student body's coming back, and our campus and our town is alive. All my guys were in my office the last 2 days, and it's mental health. Like, they're coming out of depression, and there's no question they were back on their heels for 5 months. And just that they're interacting with their teammates and moving in the dorm with a buddy, and like that's kind of been uplifting to see their faces and just see them back on campus. So our campus experiment has begun. They're coming back. We start class on Monday, and here we go.
By the way, since the last time we spoke with you, have you walked down the hallway to see Coach Kelly and say, hey, welcome to the conference. Good luck. Play hard.
I haven't seen him yet since we are a member. I mean, I think there's a nice spot for that ACC football championship trophy somewhere over there in the trophy case in the football stadium. But, how about that? Who'd have thunk it, right, that we're going to jump in there and play ACC football game? God bless the ACC, for giving us – well, you gave us a landing spot 7 years ago when we showed up in the league, and now you really gave us a landing spot in a pandemic. So, I hope it happens. I hope we can pull this off, because it would be really cool for this 1 year for our football, you know, to compete in the league. It would really be a cool situation. So I'm hoping we can do it.
Mike, nobody understands, though, the crossroads of the – I mean, you've been at Notre Dame better than 20 years. You know how the tradition of the Irish and all that in football stands, and how it germinates itself nationally with the alumni. And yet you coach a sport that isn't a conference. So what kind of little intricacies, you know, do you think Notre Dame fans have to go through in order to understand the football in a conference model, especially the ACC?
Yeah, it's new territory for our football fans. You know, our basketball, you know, certainly has competed in a league, but not very long. When you think about us as an independent, the complete athletic department, we didn't join a league till 1995. And you look at how long people have been in leagues, some of the founders of the ACC, you know, 1995, that wasn't that long ago. And then we switched leagues. So that's probably shook up our fan base a little bit that follow our basketball and our other sports. So now to do it for football is certainly new territory. You know, I've always said our players, our football players, they start the season, they can never make second team all conference. They're either an All-American or they're nothing, you know. And for a young person, you know, to be able to achieve some other honors other than just being a flat-out All-American, because we know how hard that is, playing for, you know, a division championship, even though this year I'm not sure how they're breaking the football up, to play in a football champ, you know, I think that's kind of a cool thing. And so if we could pull it off, I think it would be very interesting to hear our fans at the end, you know, of the season and what they really feel about it. I think there's certainly a real pushback because independency has been such part of the fabric. Jim Delaney once said, I think Notre Dame values independency as much or more than Catholicity. He may be right about that, quite frankly. You know, that we've hung on to that thing for a long time. But this is like this grand experiment, which I sure hope happens, because I think it's going to be really cool for the league, too. It's going to be good for the league. It's going to be very good for Notre Dame.
Coach, recently Mike Krzyzewski was on and talked about not only do you have the financial situation with football up front, which is certainly paramount for every athletic department, but emphasized the fact that the NCAA men's basketball tournament cannot have another year of not happening. And he said, you know what, if we better get our act together from a basketball perspective and start coming up with some scenarios of A, B, and C that, you know what, there's no guarantee that spring's going to feel any different than it does in August from a pandemic standpoint. And we just cannot afford to lose the golden goose, as he put it, 2 years in a row. I'm curious to get your take on that and what other discussions have transpired amongst you guys as basketball coaches.
Totally agree. Couldn't agree more. I mean, that's, I think, where we're all anxious. You know, the possibility of losing the NCAA tournament again, and what can we do timing-wise, you know, to give another tournament. You know, I've told our players, and some of it is to give them hope, that I think in the midst of this, college basketball is going to come all the way back around this pandemic, and we could be the savior. And the NCAA tournament could really be a saving grace for fans and everything whenever we end up playing it. You know, I do remind our players, I said, look, guys, we played 31 games last year. We would have been in the NIT, which would have been great for us, but that was canceled, certainly the NCAA. Remember, your spring sport counterparts on your campus got everything wiped out. Your fall sport counterparts here are hanging by a thread. And I said, I think we're going to have a chance to come back and save this thing. And it may not be in November or December, but could we do something later in the year? You know, what if we started in March and played into May and early June? You know, I think every contingency plan is being thrown up on the wall. And I think as we get closer now to September, basketball really has to start to be discussed. Because I agree. I mean, it'd be a nightmare. You know, we've thrown out, how could we get more teams in? Could every team in the midst of this pandemic and crisis, could every team be part of the NCAA tournament? And you do some home sites and some regions, and you just kind of capture America and you give every kid a chance to say, you know, how many games he played. Maybe it's only league games. Man, I'm going to get a chance to play in the NCAA tournament. It's going to look different. It's going to take a little longer. Maybe the ACC tournament week is wiped out. But could, I think all these creative things we got to keep throwing out there because we have to have an NCAA tournament. Totally agree with Mike K.
Okay, Coach, here's the thing. You're the second person I've heard mention the full admission of the membership into the NCAA tournament. And I asked the question to a basketball coach the other day outside the footprint of this conference, and they said it basically works itself out to be two more games, and you could play it on the back end of the postseason tournaments that are staged around the country. If they told you tomorrow you're going to play your 20 ACC games, the ACC tournament, and everybody goes to the NCAA tournament, are you going to take that?
I'm going to take it, and that's a huge win right now, the way this thing is trending. I am going to take it and run with it and sell it like a son of a gun to my players because I am not so sure we're playing basketball in November and December. I'm just not so sure about that. And no one said that, but the way these trends are, if we could do that, it would be awesome. And you're right. If you really look at a bracket, we've had a couple people playing around with the bracket up here. And, you know, it's not another month. It's home sites, obviously. It's a little different. But I think it would be, it's almost deserving to the young people that to be able to say, God, we're going to be part of it. And it could really capture our fan base and a TV audience at a time when, you know, sports fans, college athletics fans, basketball fans really need something to kind of heal them up a little bit.
I know you've spent now two decades up there in South Bend, but, you know, you still got that North Carolina DNA blood in you. And I was just thinking as you're driving around Granger in the back roads of Indiana, you know, I know you miss going down any highway and knowing that there's a Bojangles or a Waffle House at the next exit. I know you miss that this morning.
Well, I have found a place that can do my unsweet iced tea like a Waffle House. And I hit it every morning. You know, I've kind of coached them up how to brew my iced tea because, as we know, in the Carolinas, they know how to do iced tea.
Yeah.
Now, I've gotten off the sweet tea. That stuff's just a little too powerful for me these days. But you're right. You know, so I've got a – but when I'm on the road, which we haven't been on the road in a while – we never drive by a Waffle House without a quick stop. My assistants are trained to pull into a Waffle House.
Jeff Collins is going to be proud of you. I know that much. Jeff Collins right now in Atlanta is like, Bray is my guy. Now he's got that Waffle House brand thing going on.
He's the guy.
All right. Well, we always appreciate the time. You're unbelievable to visit with us, and especially for the first edition of Coaches in Cars going to get unsweet tea.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Wednesday, Irish Takeover. Joe Theismann scheduled to join us and make his debut on the show. Coming up here in about 10 minutes or so. Looking forward to that. Mike Bray sipping on unsweetened iced tea. To me, that's sacrilegious, but nevertheless, do what you got to do. Bray's always entertaining on the show, and we wish him the very best and his team, everybody being healthy. I mean, that's the thing. You could hear it in his voice, Wes. I think the concern of getting fall started, it's so critical for all these athletic departments. We've harped on it for the last 3, 4, 5 months when all this stuff started hitting us in the middle of March, and we'll see where it goes. I know the Big Ten just announced that they're going to start their football season September the 5th. That's breaking news. UConn decided today they're not going to play football at all, period. That's breaking news. So it's going to be this way, I think, now for the next couple of weeks, especially now that college campuses are open for business. Mike mentioned the fact that Notre Dame students are coming back to campus. This is going to be a fascinating watch to see what kind of job all of us can do as we kind of inch our way towards the college football season.
So UConn, Pack, if I'm right here, becomes the first FBS program to shut it down, right?
Correct.
Okay. By the way, I want to follow up here real quick. Mike Bray's idea of every NCAA team making the tournament. What'd you think of that?
As goofy and as weird as this year is, Wes, and who knows what a basketball season could look like. We were still trying to hope and pray and get to a football season. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be against it this particular year, just because we're so desperate, I think, as a country, and starved for live programming, live sports. And if that's what it happens to be, and we could pull it off for this particular go-around, I wouldn't have an issue with it whatsoever. I don't think we're going to have a typical season, which you know, roll out the ball for Midnight Madness in October, and season starts in November, and next thing you know, we get to early April, and somebody's cutting down the nets into Final Four. We're not going to have that. I don't think we are. But we're going to have something else. So why not? It's, hey, we got Notre Dame playing conference football for the first time ever since 1887. Why would we not just have everybody play college? I'm not totally against that idea, just given the landscape that we currently have right now in college athletics.
Yeah, I heard about it a couple of weeks ago for the first time. I don't know if I mentioned it to you or not, but when it was hatched to me, it was hatched almost as if it would, how it would fit in the calendar with just two more rounds of games in addition to the typical six that you get, you know, that you have to win the Final Four. And I thought to myself, well, you know, as bizarre as that sounds, might be worth a try if you can fit it in the calendar and it works for everything that, you know, you can get, incorporate fans and that kind of thing. And certainly would be a rallying point if you had a limited regular season, which it looks like, and we've talked to several basketball coaches, it looks like we're staring down the barrel of what would be a very limited regular season in college basketball at best now. Now, we don't know that to be true, but it looks that way, at least on the surface here in early August for sure. We did say going to break, we were going to talk about maybe what will Notre Dame miss the most about this 2020 season. And again, we're not sure how the 11th game is going to work out for Brian Kelly's team. We do know it will not be Southern Cal or Stanford, who have become very traditional opponents for Notre Dame, especially the Trojans, which that game in its history is phenomenal. Great comebacks both ways. You remember the Bush push at South Bend. You remember the Anthony Davis comeback, if you're old enough, in the early 70s at the Coliseum in Los Angeles, and a huge win for John McKay. You know about Notre Dame and great victories over Southern Cal. The one with the Naval Academy is the one that in some ways you hope you can kind of find a way maybe to get that one scheduled. The United States Naval Academy and Notre Dame have an unbelievable football tradition. And if that one doesn't play, Pack, it almost feels like that one might have more emotional ties to it, to even Notre Dame and Navy fans, than people realize, because of what the Naval Academy did to help Notre Dame during wartime in this country, especially around World War II.
That would be correct, Wes. And much like last week when the Southeastern Conference decided to bag the rivalry games, because let's be honest, the ACC wanted to play, the SEC voted no. In a perfect world, we all would hope these games would be played, but in this particular year, somebody had to make a decision, the SEC bagged it. So we lost games like Georgia, Georgia Tech, been playing for a trillion years, and Clemson, South Carolina, have played every year, I think, since 1908. I mean, we go through the whole list, Louisville, Kentucky, Florida, Florida State. But you're right. Notre Dame and Navy, given the tradition, given the history, they played every year since 1927. Yeah, you hate to lose the SC game. Yeah, you hate to lose the Stanford game. Ian Book talked about how disappointing it was to know he wasn't going to go to Lambeau Field to play Wisconsin because that game got cut with the Big Ten's decision to play conference games only. But Notre Dame-Navy can maybe still happen. Again, we do have in this league 10 plus one. What's the plus one for Notre Dame? I don't know the answer to it. But it would be cool if Navy and Notre Dame could figure out a way to make that happen. Now, granted, keep in mind, they were going to play initially in Dublin. That got waxed, to kick to the curb. Then it was going to be Annapolis. That's gotten waxed, we think. Now, all of a sudden, maybe you can get Navy to go to Notre Dame to continue that great tradition in history. But again, this year, as I mentioned, is goofy. It's totally upside down. You try to make the best of it. But these are the games, these are the traditional rivalries that you love in college football. Even if you don't have a rooting interest, it's a game that you sit there and go, oh, man, A's playing B today. I can't wait to see how that thing plays out. It's what makes college football great. It's why we love the sport so much.
Well, and it's clear when you talk to longtime Notre Dame fans, the Naval Academy, the relationship between the two entities is one thing, and it's displayed, that respect and friendship is displayed through the football rivalry. And we talk about how long it's been going on. The games with the Stanford game is 1997. The SC game is in the 40s. Navy's 1927. I mean, it really does take you back to just on the backside of the last pandemic, to be honest with you. And that's the part that I think if you get the 11th game and you got a chance to play the Naval Academy, I think that's where Notre Dame goes, to be honest with you. Because if you read books about Notre Dame football, Talking Irish by Steve Delfon being one of the best that I've read, you really understand how important that game is just in the historical references of the two institutions themselves. And I think that's one of the reasons that longtime and sentimental Notre Dame fans would want to see the game with the Naval Academy for sure. But it does create an interesting circumstance for the Irish. You're right. I heard Ian Book's answer on your show about he was really disappointed the Wisconsin game at Lambeau Field got scrapped. And you can understand why. That would have been an iconic moment in this particular college football season because of two proud programs in the Midwest getting to play it. In my opinion, one of the great venues in all of sports at Lambeau Field. It would have been really, really sensational. There's no question about that.
And if you're a senior at Notre Dame, I mean, you want that last shot at SC. I mean, the SC-Notre Dame game is one of those special moments, man. It doesn't matter if that game's in Los Angeles or in South Bend. And unfortunately, like I said, it's just going to be one of those years. And when the Pac-12 and the Big Ten made their announcements literally 3.5 weeks ago that they were going to conference only, we lost great non-conference games. And unfortunately for Notre Dame, they felt it directly with both Stanford, SC, and Wisconsin right out of the gate. And we've lost other great games. I mean, we all wanted to see Ohio State go to Oregon. We wanted to see SC play Bama. We wanted to see Michigan take on Washington. We wanted to see Virginia Tech play Penn State. I mean, the list goes on. The list is longer than my arm of great non-conference games that we lost. And, again, it got emphasized again last Friday when the Southeastern Conference went, you know what? I think the AD at Florida said we kind of ran out of Saturdays, which I thought was kind of lame, quite frankly. Hey, we want to see Florida play Florida State. We want to see Clemson, South Carolina, Georgia Tech, Louisville, Kentucky. It's just going to be one of those deals. We've talked about this from day one, Wes, with this pandemic. As fans, broadcasters, players, coaches, administrators, we've got to be flexible this year. This is going to be unlike any season we've ever experienced. Mm. It already has been. As we sit here on August the 5th and really still don't know, are we playing? I mean, the Big Ten just announced that they're going to start September the 5th. That's 1 month from today. I hope they're right. I hope we get these games, period.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.